two can play this game. I order for both of us. A massive porterhouse for two.
You seem pretty confident ordering for me,
Alice remarks, sipping her cocktail.
What if I'm a vegetarian?
I chuckle darkly. Oh, I sense you can handle some meat. She nearly chokes on her drink at the innuendo. Recovering, she leans forward, offering me a tantalizing view down her dress.
I do have quite the appetite.
My pants tighten at her tone. This woman is playing with fire. Reaching across the table, I stroke a finger along her collarbone and down into her cleavage. Her breath hitches. You've got no idea how thoroughly I plan to satisfy your cravings tonight, I growl. Ifri, last, one. Alice shivers, her eyes darkening with desire, but then a smirk plays at her lips.
I don't know. I can be pretty insatiable. You sure you're up for the challenge, Carny Boy?
She pointedly glances down at my lap. Fuck. Her audacity makes me want to drag her into the bathroom and show her exactly what I can do. But I'm not letting her take the upper hand that easily. I notice she's already finished her cocktail, so I signal the waiter and order a bottle of their most expensive wine. When it arrives, I pour Alice a generous glass, my eyes boring into hers. Drink. She raises an eyebrow but complies, taking a long sip. A drip escapes down her chin. Slowly I reach out and swipe it with my thumb before bringing it to my mouth and sucking it clean. Delicious, I rumble, my voice pure sin. But not nearly as sweet as you taste. Alice squirms, cheeks flushed and chest heaving. I've got her right where I want her. Leaning back, I take a sip of scotch, letting the smoky liquid slide down my throat. Sliding out of the booth, I move to the other side and slip in next to her. I place my hands on her thighs under the table and slowly part her legs, giving me access to her core.
What the hell are you doing?
She hisses, glancing around nervously. Ignoring her, I keep my eyes locked on her face as my fingers tease her wetness, sliding through her silky folds. I rub her clit with my thumb, enjoying the way her eyes flutter closed and her breath hitches. She's so damn responsive. You're so wet for me already, I growl, my voice low. Your body knows what it wants. Let's give these fine folks a show. Her breath quickens as I add a second finger, thrusting slowly. Alice bites her lip to stifle a moan, her chest rising and falling rapidly. Her hands grip the tablecloth, knuckles white as she keeps her composure. That's it. Take what you need. I want to hear you fall apart for me. As I twist my fingers, searching for that sweet spot, Alice whimpers, her thighs tensing around my hand. Her eyes squeeze shut, the muscles in her neck taut as she struggles to maintain her silence. That's it, I encourage, nipping at her earlobe. Let go, Alice. Let me feel you come around my fingers. My commands push her over the edge. Alice's entire body tenses as her walls clench around my fingers. She bites down on her lip to muffle her cry, but it escapes anyway. A soft, keening wail that turns heads in the restaurant. I smile against her ear, proud to have unlocked such a raw response from her. As her breath evens out, I slowly withdraw my fingers, bringing them to my mouth and licking them clean. Delicious, I murmur, my eyes fixed on hers. But we're not done. Alice's cheeks are flushed, her lips swollen from her passionate cries. Hesitantly, she meets my gaze, her eyes flashing with embarrassment and desire.
Should we go somewhere more private?
She asks. A shiver courses through me at her shy request. This bold, feisty woman wants more. My cock throbs at the thought of taking her to the edge again, but we're not done with dinner yet. Patience, princess, I tease, squeezing her thigh reassuringly. The night is still young. I stand and settle back into my seat opposite, our eyes locking. The rest of the meal is a tantalizing dance of stolen touches and suggestive glances. Alice's feigned nonchalance belies the desire simmering beneath the surface. Each touch and whispered word fuels the growing tension between us. By the time we leave, I can almost taste her anticipation, and I've got no doubt that our night is far from over.
Chapter 10. Alice. We step out of the restaurant into the dimly lit parking lot. My heart flutters with anticipation as I imagine what Lars might have planned for us. But instead of passing me the helmet, he pushes me against the cool metal of his motorcycle, his eyes dark with desire. He leans close, his lips brushing my ear as he whispers,
"I want you, right here, right now."
My breath hitches as I feel the hardness of his body pressing against mine. His hands find their way under my skirt, sliding up my thighs. I let out a soft moan as his fingers find my core, already wet and ready for him. After all, he made me fucking come while at the dinner table. With a swift motion, he spins me around and bends me over the seat of his motorcycle. The cool leather against my skin sends a shiver through my body. He lifts my skirt, exposing my pussy to the night air because I'm not wearing any panties. Then, without warning, his mouth is on me, his tongue swirling and teasing until I moan. My hands grip the handlebars tightly as I bite my lip to stifle my moans. The sensation is overwhelming, made even more intense by the knowledge that we're out in the open. Anyone could walk by and see us, but the thought only adds to my arousal. His fingers join in, thrusting inside me in perfect rhythm with his tongue. I can feel my climax building, my body trembling with anticipation. I'm so close, and he knows it. He looks up at me, his eyes sparkling with a mischievous glint.
"You like this, don't you?"
he teases.
"Being pleasured by me out here in the open, knowing someone could catch us any moment."
I whimper in response, unable to form coherent words. My body is on fire, every nerve ending screaming for release. And then, with a few more skilled flicks of his tongue, he pushes me over the edge. My orgasm crashes over me like a wave, leaving me breathless and trembling. I clutch at the seat, my nails digging into its leather as I ride out the intense waves of pleasure. Finally, I slump forward, trying to catch my breath. Lars steps back and yanks me with him, forcing me to my feet. He spins me around, his eyes glittering with a mixture of lust and something darker. I watch him reach for the zipper of his pants, his movements slow and deliberate, drawing out the anticipation. My eyes are drawn to the bulge, and I feel a rush of wetness between my legs. With a swift motion, he undoes the zipper and reaches inside, pulling out his cock. It's thick and long, but that's not what makes me gasp. It's the piercing, a metal ring inserted just below the tip, glinting under the fluorescent lights of the parking lot.
"Do you like it?"
he asks, a hint of a smile playing at the corners of his mouth.
"The piercing will be especially pleasing for you when I'm balls deep in your cunt."
I swallow, not quite sure what to say. The sight of his pierced cock is so fucking hot. I've never seen anything like it, and the thought of feeling that cold metal inside me sends a jolt of excitement through my body. It's beautiful, I manage to stammer. Lars chuckles, a deep rumbling sound that vibrates through his chest.
"It's all yours, princess. Get onto the bike and lie on your back, holding the handlebars."
Obediently, I do as he says, feeling the cool metal beneath my palms. My heart is hammering in my chest, a mixture of nervousness and anticipation. He stares down at me as he climbs on, teasing me at first, rubbing the head of his cock against my slick folds, making me ache for more. I can feel the cold metal of his piercing, a tantalizing contrast to the heat between my legs.
"Do you want it?"
he asks. "Yes," I whisper. "I want it."
"Tell me how much you want my cock,"
he demands. "I want it so much. Please, Lars, give it to me." With a growl, he thrusts forward, filling me in one swift motion. The sensation is incredible. The stretch, the burn, the cold metal sliding inside me. I moan, my head falling back as I grip the handlebars tighter.
"That's it. Moan for me like a good girl,"
he growls. God damn, this man can melt me with words alone. I can't help but rock my hips, trying to take him deeper. Lars holds me firm and glares down at me.
I'm in charge. Now stay still while I fuck you like you've never been fucked.
The handlebars dig into my palms as he thrusts with abandon. The night air is cool against my heated flesh, and the knowledge someone could call the cops on us if they see only makes me wetter. All I can focus on is the feeling of Lars inside me, the hard length of him stretching me, the cold metal sparking sensations with each thrust. Lars's hands tighten on my hips, moving so fast and hard that the bike shudders. His breath is ragged, his control slipping as he gives in to the moment.
You feel so fucking good,
he grunts.
Your tight pussy is milking my fucking cock.
His words send another rush of heat through me, making me want to take him even deeper. I rock my hips with renewed fervor, seeking that perfect angle that will push me over the edge.
That's it. Take it deeper,
he urges.
Oh, such a good girl.
Darkness suddenly surrounds me as Lars's hands leave my hips and grip my throat, squeezing gently. A rush of excitement hits me at this new sensation. His touch is firm and controlling, and it only serves to heighten my arousal. He whispers dirty words.
You like it rough, don't you? You like being manhandled by me?
I can only nod, my mouth dry, my body throbbing with need. Lars's hand tightens, increasing the pressure to make my eyes water. It's not enough to make me panic, but it adds an edge.
That's right, princess. You like it when I choke you a little. Makes your pussy wet, doesn't it?
I whimper in response, my body arching. Lars's other hand finds my breast, squeezing and teasing my nipple until it's hard and aching. The combination of pain and pleasure is incredible. Please, Lars, I beg, my voice thick with want. Don't stop. I want more. He growls in response and moves faster, his cock thrusting so deep inside me. His hand on my throat tightens just a fraction more, making me feel lightheaded. It's a heady mix of sensations. The stretch of my body around him, the burn between my legs, and now the constriction of my airway. It's overwhelming and all-consuming, and I love every second. He removes his hand from my nipple and rubs my clit in rough circles, bringing me closer to the edge. My body tenses, every muscle coiled tight as I hover on the brink of release. Lars's cock throbs inside me, his own control slipping as he gets closer to his peak.
Come for me,
he demands.
Let me feel you cream all over my cock.
His words are all it takes to push me over the edge. I cry out, my body shaking with the force of my orgasm. Lars grunts his approval, his cock twitching inside me as he spills himself into me, marking me as his own. Lars's cock slips out of me as he wraps an arm around my waist and pulls me so I'm sitting upright. We rest there for a moment on his motorcycle, breathless and sated. His hand loosens from my throat, allowing me to breathe freely again. His lips press a soft kiss against mine.
Can you drive a motorcycle?
He asks. No, I can't, I admit, my cheeks hot thinking about steering this powerful machine. He chuckles, and the deep sound reverberates through his chest, making my body anxiously buzz.
What a shame. I was hoping you could learn to straddle my bike and warm my dick with that sweet pussy while we ride.
His words make my breath catch. The idea is thrilling, and I can't deny the excitement surging through me. You'd let me drive your motorcycle? I ask. He smirks, his eyes glittering dangerously in the moonlight.
I'll do more than that. I'll teach you how to ride it and cockwarm me at the same fucking time.
My cheeks flare with heat at his bold suggestion. I've never driven a motorcycle before, and the thought of learning how to handle this beast of a machine and Lars at the same time is exhilarating. How would that even work? I ask, my voice laced with curiosity. I mean, physically, wouldn't it be, difficult? He chuckles, and his hands reach my hips, pulling me closer to him.
It's all about balance, princess. You just have to find the right position. And my bike is good for it since the seat is flat. One of the perks of a Triumph Bonneville.
I assume that's the bike we're on. Lars disentangles himself from me and tucks his cock back into his pants. I'm reluctant to separate from him, my legs feeling like jelly. He lifts me off the bike and hands me my helmet.
For now, you'll have to ride behind me. We'll work on your riding skills later.
I nod, taking the helmet from him and sliding it over my head, the padding soft against my skin. Lars helps me tighten the strap under my chin before pulling on his own helmet. The black visor obscuring his eyes makes him look even more mysterious. He swings his leg over the bike and settles into the seat.
Get on,
he demands. I mount the bike behind him, squeezing my arms around his waist. Lars kicks the stand back with his boot.
You ready?
He asks, his voice slightly muffled by the helmet. Yes, I reply. With a low rumble, Lars starts the engine. The motorcycle roars to life beneath us, vibrating against my legs. I rest my cheek against his back as he drives us out of the parking lot toward Willow Creek. The wind whips my hair back as we gain speed, and I feel a surge of adrenaline. I press myself closer to Lars, inhaling the scent of leather and musk that clings to him. The night air is cool against my skin, but the warmth of his body protects me from the chill. As we weave through the streets, the town of Westbrook becoming a distant blur of lights and shadows, I relax into the ride. Despite the thrill of the wind rushing by and the knowledge that motorcycles are far more dangerous than cars, I feel safe.
You doing okay back there?
Lars calls. I lean closer and shout, doing great! Don't stop! His laugh vibrates through his chest and he accelerates, taking a turn a little faster than necessary, causing my heart to race. But I'm not afraid, not with Lars. I trust him, even as he pushes the limits. I feel alive, every sense heightened, and I know this is just the beginning of our adventure together. As we reach the outskirts of Willow Creek, Lars begins to slow, signaling our return to reality. I tighten my arms around his waist, not quite ready to let go, but as we pull up in front of my apartment building, I know it's time to dismount. Reluctantly, I ease my arms from around his waist and climb off the bike, my legs a little unsteady. I remove my helmet, my hair tumbling around my shoulders, and turn to face Lars. He kills the engine and removes his helmet, his eyes finding mine.
I'm coming in with you. I hope you know that.
I smirk at Lars, tilting my head as I meet his intense gaze. Oh, you think you're just invited in? I tease, even though my heart is racing at the thought of having him in my space, in my bed. Lars takes a step closer, his broad frame towering over me.
I don't think, princess. I know.
I bite my lip. Well, aren't you presumptuous? I retort, but there's no real bite to my words. We both know this is just a dance of seduction that we've been engaged in all night. He reaches out, his fingers brushing against my cheek, trailing down my neck. I lean into his touch, my skin tingling under his fingertips.
You want me, Alice, just as much as I want you.
It's not a question, but a statement of fact. I swallow, my mouth suddenly dry. He's right, of course. I do want him, with an intensity that scares me a little. But I'm not ready to admit it. Not yet. You seem awfully sure of yourself, I manage to say, my voice a little breathy. Lars's lips brush against my ear.
I am sure of myself, for good reason. And I'm going to show you that reason over and over again until you're screaming my name.
His words make me hot, and I know I'm fighting a losing battle. I want him, and there's no point in denying it any longer. Well then, I whisper, my hand finding his. I guess you better come in and show me. With that, I turn and lead him into my apartment building, my heart pounding with a mixture of excitement and trepidation. I know I'm walking a dangerous path, that Lars is a man who could consume me entirely. But now, with the memory of his touch still lingering on my skin, I can't find it in myself to care.
Chapter 11, Lars. I pull up to the secluded spot where we meet the Blackwood brothers. Tyson's already there, leaning against his classic Mustang with crossed arms. I nod to him as I kill my bike's engine, the rumble fading into the silence of the night. Two more motorcycles approach, their headlights cutting through the darkness. Xavier and Knox Blackwood. I watch as they park their bikes and swagger toward us, all leather and attitude.
"Well, well, if it isn't the Carnival Boys,"
Knox drawls, smirking.
"You got our goods?"
I narrow my eyes at him. "Shut it, Knox." Xavier steps forward, his expression serious.
"Let's cut the bullshit. We need to up our supply, double the usual amount."
Tyson raises an eyebrow.
"Double? That's a tall order, Xavier. What's the occasion?"
Xavier's jaw tightens. "None of your fucking business. Can you handle it or not?" I exchange a glance with Ty. We've never moved that much product before, but the Blackwood brothers are our biggest clients. 400 pounds is a lot of weight, I say, keeping my voice even. "It's going to cost you." Knox laughs, the sound grating on my nerves.
"Ha! You hear that, Xavier? The carny thinks he can negotiate with us."
I take a step forward, my fists clenching at my sides.
"Watch your mouth, Knox. You want the product, you pay the price. Simple as that."
Xavier holds up a hand, silencing his brother.
"Name it."
I glance at Tyson and jerk my head, indicating we must talk privately. He nods and we step away from the Blackwood brothers.
400 pounds,
I mutter under my breath. "That's a hell of a lot of product, Ty. We've never moved that much before." Tyson runs a hand over his face, his expression grim.
"I know, but we can't afford to lose their business.
We're going to have to up our price to cover logistics and risk. Double the product, 1.5 times the cost per kilo."
"You think they'll go for it?"
Tyson asks, his eyes darting to where Xavier and Knox are waiting impatiently. I shrug.
"They don't have a choice. We're the only ones who can supply them with that much weight at such short notice.
They'll pay or they'll go without." Tyson sighs heavily.
"All right, let's do it."
We turn back to the Blackwood brothers, our expressions serious. I step forward, my eyes locking with Xavier's.
"All right, here's the deal. We can get you the 400 pounds, but it's going to cost you 1.5 times our usual kilo price. That's non-negotiable."
Xavier's eyes narrow.
"Fine, but I want it by the end of the week. No excuses."
Ty nods.
"You'll have it, but we want half the payment up front. The other half upon delivery."
Knox scoffs, but Xavier silences him with a look.
"Done. You'll have your money by tomorrow."
Ty and Xavier shake on it, sealing the deal. And then, without another word, Knox and Xavier turn and mount their bikes, riding off into the night. I watch as their taillights disappear into the darkness. The weight of the deal we just made settles heavily on my shoulders. I turn to Ty, my mind already racing with the logistics of it all.
"We're going to need to bring in some extra muscle to handle the distribution," I say. "Nash and me ain't going to cut it this time."
Tyson nods, his expression grim.
"I'll talk to Phoenix and see if I can convince him to leave his trailer for once. As for the rest of the guys, we'll have to assess who's the most trustworthy."
I run a hand through my hair, feeling the stress of the situation already taking its toll.
"We're going to have to be careful, Ty. Moving that much product is risky as hell. If the cops catch wind of it..."
Ty raises a hand, cutting me off.
"I know the risks, Lars, but the Blackwoods are our best clients, so we need to keep them happy."
I know he's right, but that doesn't make the situation less dangerous. We're walking a fine line here. One wrong move could bring down the whole operation.
"All right," I say, my voice firm. "Let's get to work. We've got a lot of planning to do if we're going to pull this off."
Ty claps me on the shoulder, a grim smile on his face.
"That's the spirit, Lars. We've got this."
As I head back to my bike, I can't shake the feeling that we're in over our heads. But there's no turning back now. We've made our bed, and now we must lie in it. I just hope we don't end up regretting it.
Chapter 12. Alice.
"Close the door,"
Derek commands, his tone sharp. The look on his face tells me everything I need to know. He's not happy. Not one bit. I comply, my hands shaking slightly as I turn to face him. His eyes bore into mine.
"What the hell were you thinking, bringing that thug here yesterday?"
he demands, slamming his hand on the desk.
"Do you have any idea how unprofessional that was?"
I flinch at his words, my cheeks burning with shame. "I'm sorry, Derek. I didn't know he was going to show up like that."
I don't care what you knew or didn't know.
He snaps.
That man has no business being here, and I won't tolerate it. You can consider yourself fired if he ever shows his face here again. Do you understand me?
I nod, my throat tight with emotion. Yes, sir. It won't happen again.
It better not,
he warns, his eyes narrowing.
I expect my employees to always conduct themselves with the utmost professionalism, and that includes keeping their personal lives separate from their work lives.
I feel a surge of anger at his words, as if he has any right to dictate what I do outside of work. And I had no fucking control over Lars turning up. But I bite my tongue, knowing that arguing with him only worsens things. I understand, I say, my voice steady despite the turmoil inside me. It won't be a problem. He nods, his expression still stern.
Good. Now, get back to work. And Alice?
I pause, my hand on the doorknob. Yes?
If I hear even a whisper of that man's name around here, you'll be out on your ass faster than you can blink. Are we clear?
Crystal, I reply. I exit his office, my mind reeling from the confrontation. I know I need to talk to Lars to make sure he stays away from my workplace, but a part of me rebels at the way Derek just spoke to me. I head back to my desk and slump into my chair, burying my face in my hands. How did things get so complicated so quickly? Hey, Alice. You okay? Jenna asks. She works for one of the other attorneys and is standing by my desk. Her brow is furrowed. Yeah, I'm fine. I lie, forcing a smile. Just a little stressed, that's all. Jenna nods. Let me guess. Derek gave you a hard time about that guy who showed up yesterday. I sigh, nodding. You could say that. He threatened to fire me if Lars ever shows up here again. Jenna rolls her eyes. Typical Derek. Always overreacting and being a total asshole. I chuckle at her bluntness. You've got that right. Seriously, though, don't let him get to you, Jenna says, her tone more serious now. Derek's always been like this. He loves to throw his weight around and make everyone feel like shit. But at the end of the day, he's just a sad little man with a fragile ego. I nod, feeling a little better already. It's nice to know I'm not the only one who sees through Derek's bullshit. Thanks, Jenna, I say, smiling genuinely this time. I needed to hear that. Anytime, girl, she replies, grinning. Us secretaries have got to stick together, right? We both laugh, the tension in my shoulders dissipating. For a moment, I forget all about Lars and the chaos he's brought into my life. I'm grateful to have a friend like Jenna to help me through the rough patches. All right, I better get back to work before Derek finds another reason to yell at me. I roll my eyes. You and me both. Kevin can be just as bad sometimes, Jenna agrees. But seriously, Alice, don't let Derek get you down. I nod, feeling a surge of determination. She's right. And no matter what happens with Lars, I refuse to let anyone make me feel small or powerless. I try to focus on my work, but can't stop thinking about the confrontation with Derek. What if Lars shows up again? What if Derek makes good on his threat to fire me? Just as I'm about to lose myself in a spiral of anxiety, I hear the door to the office open. My head snaps up, and my heart nearly stops when I see who it is. Lars. He strides into the office like he owns the place, eyes scanning the room until they land on me. I feel a rush of heat that has nothing to do with the stuffy office air. But then I remember Derek's warning, and the blood drains from my face. If he sees Lars here, I'm done. I glance quickly at Derek's office door, praying he's locked inside and won't come out. Then I jump up from my desk and rush over to Lars. What are you doing here? I hiss, grabbing his arm and pulling him toward the door. You can't be here, Lars. If Derek sees you, I'll lose my job. Lars raises an eyebrow.
Relax, princess. I just wanted to see you.
Well, you can't, I snap, my voice rising in pitch. I'm serious, Lars. You need to leave, now.
Don't worry about your job,
Lars says with a smirk.
You won't be needing it soon enough.
I stare at him in stunned silence for a moment. What are you talking about? He leans in close.
By the time the carnival moves out in just over a week, you'll be coming with me.
I pull back, shaking my head. You're crazy. I won't leave my life behind like that. Lars's eyes glint with amusement.
It's not a matter of whether you want to. It's a fact. You belong with me, and you know it.
I don't belong with anyone, Lars. And I'm certainly not going to uproot my entire life because you say so. He steps closer, pressing himself against me.
You'll see things differently soon enough. I have a way of getting what I want. And what I want is you.
I open my mouth to argue, but I hear a door slam behind me before I can get a word out. Derek storms out of his office toward us, his face red with anger.
What the hell is going on out here?
He demands, his eyes darting between me and Lars. Oh, shit. Derek, I'm sorry. Lars was just leaving. But Lars doesn't move. Instead, he stands his ground with his eyes locked on Derek's.
Actually, I was just telling Alice about our plans for the future. She won't be needing this job much longer.
Derek's eyes narrow, his fists clenching at his sides.
I thought I made myself clear yesterday. You're not welcome here, and if you don't leave right now, I'll call the cops.
Lars laughs.
Go ahead and call them. By the time they'll get here, I'll be long gone.
He's crazy. Why isn't he scared of the cops? Lars, please, you need to leave, now, I beg. But he doesn't move. He just stands there, a smirk on his face, his eyes locked on Derek's. I turn to Derek, desperation in my voice. Derek, I'm so sorry. I had no idea he was coming here. I swear, I've got no control over this guy's actions. I don't even know him. Not really. But Derek isn't listening. His face is red with anger, his eyes narrowed to slits.
I don't want to hear your excuses. I warned you what would happen if he showed up here again.
I feel tears pricking at the corners of my eyes. Please, Derek, you've got to understand. I didn't ask for this. Lars steps forward, his voice low and menacing.
Watch how you talk to her, asshole. Alice is done for the day and is coming with me.
Derek scoffs.
Like hell she is. She's not going anywhere with a psycho like you.
Lars moves so fast, I barely have time to blink. He grabs my purse and jacket from my desk and takes my arm, marching me toward the exit. Let go of me! I shout, trying to pull away, but his grip is like iron.
Alice?
Derek calls after me.
If you walk out that door, don't bother coming back.
I look back over my shoulder, tears streaming down my face. I'm sorry, Derek. I didn't want it to be like this. But Lars is already pulling me out of the office, his hand tight around my arm. I stumble after him, my mind reeling with what just happened. As we step out into the bright sunlight, I blink back tears. I can't believe this is happening. My job, my life, everything I've worked so hard for, it's all crumbling away before my eyes. Where are you taking me? I demand, trying to pull away from Lars's grip. He doesn't answer. He just keeps walking, his jaw set with determination. I feel a surge of panic rising in my chest. What have I gotten myself into, and how am I ever going to get out of it? Lars drags me toward a deserted parking lot, gripping my arm like a vise. In the distance, I can see his motorcycle parked, sleek and menacing. Let go of me! I yell, trying to free my arm, but he's too strong. We reach the bike, and he shoves a helmet into my hands.
Put it on,
he growls.
We're getting out of here.
I look at the helmet, then back at him, anger boiling inside me. How dare he order me about after what he just did? With a glare, I chuck the helmet right back at him, feeling a surge of satisfaction as it bounces off his chest. Screw you, Lars, I spit out. I'm not going anywhere with you. Before he can react, I turn on my heel and take off, running as fast as possible.
Bad idea to run,
he calls after me, his voice unnervingly calm. But I don't stop. I can't stop. Not until I've put as much distance between us as possible. My heart pounds in my chest as I race across the parking lot, adrenaline coursing through my veins. I've got no idea where I'm going, but I don't care. All that matters is getting away from Lars, as he's insane. As I reach the edge of the lot, I hear the roar of a motorcycle engine and glance over my shoulder to see Lars on his bike, revving the engine as he prepares to give chase. With a surge of panic, I pick up my pace, darting onto the street and weaving between cars. I can hear the bike getting closer, the engine's roar like a predator closing in on its prey.
Chapter 13, Lars. I rev my engine, the powerful rumble echoing through the streets as I pursue Alice. She sprints recklessly, her desperation fueling her steps. But it's useless. She can't outrun me or escape my grasp. As she darts across the road, cars honk and screech to a halt. I curse under my breath, my heart pounding with a twisted thrill at the idea of playing chase with her across this shitty town. When she finally ducks into the town library, I pull up sharply, killing the engine. Dismounting the bike smoothly, I stride toward the entrance, my boots striking the pavement purposefully. The scent of old books and dust hits me as I push through the doors, scanning the rows of shelves for any sign of her. There, a flash of movement near the back. I smirk, prowling forward with a predatory gait. She's only delaying the inevitable, foolishly believing she can hide from me. Rounding the corner, I find her crouched behind a towering bookcase, her chest heaving with panicked breaths. Our eyes lock, and I savor the fear flickering in her green eyes. Fear, laced with an unmistakable spark of desire. "Did you really think you could run from me, princess?" I purr, closing the distance between us. "You can't run or hide from me. Not now, not ever." Her pulse flutters in her neck, a betraying rhythm that reveals her true excitement.
"I wasn't hiding,"
she retorts, but her voice trembles, giving away her lie.
"And I wasn't—"
"You can't deny what this is between us. Not after you came so fucking beautifully on my cock while I fucked you last night over my motorcycle." I inch forward, caging her against the shelves, my arms braced on either side, trapping her in place.
"Okay, fine,"
she bites back.
"We had a hot night of sex, but that doesn't mean—"
"It means you crave what I can give you," I interrupt, lowering my voice to a husky murmur. "The thrill excites you, doesn't it?" She opens her mouth to respond, but I lean in, my lips a hair's breadth from hers, and she falls silent. "Say it," I command softly. "Admit that you want more." Her eyes search mine, the struggle within her evident.
"I—"
Her breath catches as I graze her neck with my lips, remembering how sensitive it is.
"I want more,"
she whispers. "Good girl." I draw back, a satisfied smirk tugging at my lips. "Now, are you going to keep running, or are you ready to accept that we're meant for each other?" Alice straightens against the bookshelves, her hands balling into fists at her sides as she snaps out of her haze of desire.
"I'll never accept that. You can't just waltz into my work and make me lose my job, chase me down, and then expect me to fall into your arms. I may want you on a physical level, but that doesn't mean I'll ever accept we're meant for each other."
I lean in again and drag my lips across her collarbone. "Try as you might, my binds you'll never break, princess." Alice's eyes narrow and she makes a desperate attempt to shove past me, but I tighten my hold, keeping her caged against the bookcase.
"You're a fucking psycho,"
she growls, her voice vibrating with fury.
"Let me go, or I swear I'll—"
"You'll what?" I inhale the scent of vanilla and ginger from her hair, remembering how it tumbled over her shoulders as she moaned and writhed against me. "You'll call the cops? Tell them what, exactly? That you couldn't get enough of my pierced cock deep inside you?" Her cheeks flush and she bites her lip, her anger warring with the memories I know are flooding her mind. I smirk, savoring the taste of victory.
"You're disgusting,"
she spits, though her words lack conviction. "Disgusting," I chuckle, my gaze dropping to her lips. "You didn't think so the other night when you were screaming my name, begging me to fuck you harder. When you came so beautifully, sprawled over my motorcycle as if you were made for it." I see her throat bob as she swallows, her eyes flicking away from mine.
"Let me go,"
she grits out between clenched teeth. "Never," I murmur, my voice a low, dangerous promise. "You're mine. You can't deny it. Not after last night. And I won't let anyone get in the way of what we have."
"We don't have anything. What we did was a one-time thing. A mistake. It won't happen again.
But even as she speaks, I see the pulse at her neck fluttering wildly, giving her away. She wants me still, and I intend to claim her repeatedly until she surrenders fully. You can't resist me, I purr, lips hovering perilously close to hers. Admit it. Her nostrils flare, and she presses her lips together, refusing to give me the satisfaction of her surrender. I chuckle, nuzzling her neck, breathing in the scent of her skin, and letting my lips brush against the sensitive spot below her ear.
Lars, please.
She whimpers, her body softening against mine. Do you want me to take you here? I breathe, my voice thick with desire. Right now, against these bookshelves. I'd be happy to oblige. Leaning in, I kiss her, claiming her mouth. At first, she tries to resist, but it's half-hearted at best. The passion ignites between us as our tongues dance and duel, tasting and tormenting. My hands slide up her thighs, lifting her against the stacks of books, her legs wrapping around my waist instinctively. I graze her pulse point with my teeth, feeling the erratic beat of her heart. Her head drops back as she surrenders to the pleasure, and she grinds against my straining erection. She's desperate and wild, which fuels my burning need for her. The fire between us builds with each stroke of our tongues and each press of our bodies. My hands explore, mapping every curve, memorizing her soft skin while she arches against me, demanding more. Alice's breath comes in short gasps as her body bows against mine, her movements becoming more urgent. Her moans vibrate through me, sending shocks of pleasure through my veins, and I know I won't be able to hold back much longer. Our kisses grow wilder and hungrier, fueled by the public nature of our location. Her soft breasts press against my chest, her hard nipples rubbing deliciously through our clothes. I want to tear them off, take her right here, claim what's rightfully mine. The feel of her grinding against me stirs my darkest desires, and I know she can sense the steely length of my cock, throbbing with anticipation. My hands find her ass, squeezing the plump flesh, pulling her tighter against me as she writhes and bucks against my dick.
Hey, you two! This is a library, not a brothel!
The shrill voice cuts through the haze of desire like a bucket of ice water. I see the stern librarian glaring at us, hands planted firmly on her hips. Alice freezes against me, her chest heaving with ragged breaths.
If you're not here to study or read, you must leave. Immediately.
The librarian's tone brooks no argument. Cursing under my breath, I reluctantly release Alice from my embrace and set her back on her feet. She sways slightly, her eyes glazed over, lips swollen from our heated kisses. She seems to snap back to reality in that split second of disorientation. Her gaze meets mine, a flicker of defiance igniting within their depths. Before I can react, she darts away, slipping through the stacks and out of my reach. Alice, I growl, my voice a rough demand. But she's already gone, disappearing into the rows of books. Fury simmers beneath my skin as I whirl to face the disapproving librarian. You'll regret that, I snarl, jabbing a finger toward her. She simply raises an eyebrow.
I believe you're the one who should be regretting such inappropriate behavior. Now, leave before I call the police.
Grinding my teeth, I shoot her one last venomous glare before turning on my heel and stalking toward the exit. I burst through the doors, the bright sunlight stinging my eyes after the dimness of the library. Scanning the street, I curse when I see no sign of Alice. That little minx can't have gone far, not on foot. Pivoting, I stalk back toward my bike, determination thrumming through my veins. She can run, but she can't hide from me forever. I'll find her. I'll track her down to the ends of the earth if I must. And when I do, a grin stretches across my face as I swing a leg over my motorcycle. She's only delaying the inevitable. Turning over the engine, it roars to life. Twisting the throttle, I peel out onto the street, intent on hunting down my elusive prey. I'll scour every inch of this town if I have to. She can't escape me. No one can.
Chapter 14. Alice. I sit across from Lily in our favorite booth at the diner where she works.
my stomach churning with the secrets I've been keeping from her. She smiles at me, her eyes bright with curiosity. Lily has no idea that I lost my job, or that I'm seeing a carny. And to be honest, I don't know how to explain any of it to her. Any more dates with the stalker? I ask. Lily blushes almost instantly but shakes her head. Not exactly. I narrow my eyes at her. What do you mean, not exactly? She shakes her head. We've seen each other a couple of times since. Her cheeks are bright red right now, and something tells me that they've seen each other means they've been fucking. It's hard to believe after all these years of Lily being this good little virgin, she lost it to some carny psycho. Right. Want to kiss and tell? I ask. Lily shoves me playfully. No. I know you think I'm insane sleeping with him, but he's just so obsessed with me. And I like it, she admits. I know exactly what she means. Lars is obsessive, and I love it. It gets me going like nothing else ever has. Fair enough, I purse my lips. But what happens when he leaves? She shrugs. I don't know. We're just having fun while he's here, I guess. A look in her eyes tells me she's broken up by that, and I wonder if she'd go with him if he asked. Enough about me, Lily says, shaking her head. How's work going? Fuck. I stare at my best friend, knowing I should come clean about Lars getting me fired, but I can't bring myself to tell her. After all, I've been pretty fucking hypocritical telling her to watch her back with her stalker when Lars is acting psychotic, but in a more direct way. Yeah, it's good. Derek is the same as always. A complete asshole. I hate lying to my best friend, but the truth is too complicated and raw. Not to mention, I intend to beg Derek for my job back once Lars has left with the carnival. That man doesn't appreciate you enough at all, Lily says, biting her lip. You should try to find someone else to work for, even if you have to commute. I nod noncommittally, wondering if that might be my answer to this dilemma. All I can do is tell Lily I quit because Derek is an asshole, and I'm looking for another job. What are your plans for the rest of the day? I ask, wanting to change the subject. She grins and leans forward. I'm free all day. She arches her brow. I thought we could go check out that new vintage store that opened after lunch. I heard they have the cutest retro dresses. I smile. That sounds amazing. You know I can never resist a good vintage find. Lily nods eagerly. Exactly. And after that, we could swing by the park and people watch for a bit. It's been too long since we've just hung out and gossiped like we used to. You're absolutely right, I agree, feeling a wave of nostalgia. We've been so caught up in work lately that we haven't had a proper girls' day in forever. Well, consider today the official revival of our girls' day tradition, Lily declares, raising her glass. To putting aside all the stress and drama, and just having some good old-fashioned fun. I clink my glass against hers. I'll drink to that. For the next hour, we lose ourselves in easy conversation, laughing and reminiscing about old times. All the while, I'm feeling guilty as hell while steering clear of talking about work. We step out of the diner, the warm sun kissing our skin. It's only a short walk to the new shop. I can't wait to see what treasures we'll find, Lily gushes as we approach the store. Me too, I agree. I've been dying to expand my vintage collection. The bell above the door jingles as we enter, and we're immediately transported to a bygone era. Racks of colorful dresses, blouses, and skirts fill the space, each piece more charming than the last. Oh my God, Alice, look at this, Lily exclaims, holding up a stunning red dress with a sweetheart neckline. You've got to try this on. It's so you. She's right. It's exactly the kind of style I love. I take the dress from her, admiring the silky fabric. It's gorgeous. After about 20 minutes, we both have loads of outfits to try on. We make our way to the fitting rooms. I slip into the red dress and zip it up, gasping at my reflection. The dress hugs my curves perfectly, and the vibrant color makes my skin glow. Let me see, Lily calls from outside the fitting room.
I step out, doing a little twirl. Lily's eyes widen, and she claps her hands together. Alice, you look incredible! That dress was made for you! I smile, but it quickly fades as reality sets in. It's perfect, but I can't justify buying it now. It's $100, I admit, my heart sinking at my lack of income. Lily frowns. Why not? You deserve to treat yourself every once in a while. I shrug, trying to appear nonchalant. I want to be a bit more mindful of my spending at the moment, I say, hoping she won't press further. Lily looks at me curiously, but doesn't pry. Normally, I'm all for splashing out on things I don't need. She holds up a black and white polka dot dress. Well, I'm definitely trying this on. Cade won't be able to keep his eyes off me if it fits. I force a smile. It'll look great on you. Get in there. I'm trying to be supportive of her, even though she's dating a psychopath who is going to leave town anyway. One who stalked her. But I can't really say anything since I can't stop thinking about Lars. And he might be just as unhinged as Cade in a different way. I beam as Lily emerges from the fitting room, twirling around. You look incredible! Cade will lose his mind when he sees you in that. Lily grins, smoothing her hands over the fabric. I know, right? It's perfection. She glances at the price tag and winces. And a lot of money, but totally worth the splurge. After Lily pays for her dress, we exit the shop, arms linked together again. The park is just around the corner, I say. We can stop and enjoy the sunshine for a bit before we head home. Lily nods. Sounds perfect. It'll be like old times, gossiping on a park bench and people watching. We stroll leisurely through the quaint streets until we reach the park's entrance. Lush green grass stretches before us, dotted with towering oak trees that provide welcome shade. A few families and couples lounge on blankets, enjoying picnics and each other's company. Lily and I claim an empty bench, settling in and basking in the warm afternoon glow. We sit in comfortable silence for a while, simply taking in the sights and sounds around us. Eventually, Lily nudges me with her elbow. So, have you heard from Kelly lately? I shake my head, immediately knowing where this is going. No, but I'm sure you're about to fill me in on the gossip. Lily launches into the latest gossip about our former classmate. Before long, we're reminiscing about our high school days. As we dissolve into a fit of giggles, my gaze wanders across the park. My laughter catches in my throat and my stomach drops. Lars is there, striding across the grass with his usual confident gait. I think he might approach us momentarily, and my heart starts pounding. But he veers off and settles onto a bench near Lily and me. I try to act casual, but his eyes are on me, boring into me with an intensity that makes me shiver. Lily continues chattering away, oblivious to my unease. Tearing my gaze away from Lars, I focus intently on Lily. But no matter how hard I try to engage in our conversation, I can't shake the feeling of being watched. Lars doesn't move to approach us, but his presence is enough to set me on edge. I shift uncomfortably on the bench, my palms sweaty as I wonder what he might want. Is he following me? Trying to intimidate me? After all, the last time I saw him, he chased me on his motorcycle through town. One thing is certain. The carefree, relaxing day Lily and I had planned has taken an unsettling turn. As much as I try to push Lars from my mind, his looming presence casts a dark shadow over our afternoon in the park.
Chapter 15. Lars. I tail Alice closely as she and Lily leave the park, my gaze fixed on the sway of Alice's hips as she walks. She knows I'm following since she glances over her shoulder every few steps, her eyes meeting mine before darting away. I smirk, enjoying her nervous energy. The fear excites me and gets my dick hard. As they reach the main street, Lily breaks off toward the diner for her evening shift. Alice hesitates, casting a worried look in her friend's direction before continuing. Perfect. I linger back, allowing some distance between us as she quickens her pace, but she can't escape me. Not this time. Her steps grow hurried, shoulders tensed as she tries to put as much space between us as possible.
With each furtive glance over her shoulder, I meet her gaze steadily, a dark promise in my eyes. I'm not going anywhere, princess. She swallows hard and speeds up again, but there's nowhere for her to run. I follow in a controlled, lazy stride, in no rush. She's already caught in my sights. Her escape attempts only fuel my hunger. The way she moves, the subtle sway of those curves, has me gritting my teeth with desire. My blood pounds with anticipation as I track her through the streets, allowing the distance between us to ebb and flow. Suddenly, Alice stops and whirls to face me, fists clenched at her sides. Her chest heaves with exertion and those pretty green eyes flash in anger.
Leave me the fuck alone, Lars!
She spits out.
I'm done with your games!
I pause in my tracks, drinking in the sight of her being all defiant. Her fiery spirit only stokes the flames of my obsession. Quirking one brow, I eat up the space between us with a few long strides until I can feel the heat radiating from her body. She holds her ground, tilting her chin up to meet my gaze.
You think it's that easy?
I murmur, voice low.
You can't just walk away from me.
My eyes roam over the swell of her breasts, rising and falling with each furious breath. The temptation to reach out and seize her is overwhelming.
We both know you crave this as much as I do, I continue, pitching my voice to that rough, seductive rasp I know gets under her skin. You can't resist the thrill, can you? The way I make your pretty little body sing.
Alice shoves against me, her palms pressing into my torso as she tries to push me away.
Leave me alone, Lars!
She hisses, green eyes blazing.
I mean it. I'll call the cops if you don't stop following me.
The audacity of her threat makes my blood boil. How dare she think she can threaten me and just walk away unscathed? A dangerous calm settles over me as I stare her down.
You really think that's a good idea?
I ask. Before she can react, my hand shoots out and clamps down on her neck, fingers digging into the delicate skin. She gasps, wide-eyed, but I yank her closer until our faces are just inches apart.
You won't ever call the cops on me, I snarl, tightening my grip enough to make her whimper. If you even think of it, you won't fucking like the consequences. Do you understand me?
My thumb strokes over her racing pulse as I await her response, pressed so close I can feel her panicked breaths against my body. She gives the barest nod, throat bobbing. I smirk, satisfied I've gotten my point across.
That's my good girl, I purr, leaning in to nuzzle her neck. Now, let's get you somewhere more private so we can finish our chat in a more comfortable setting.
Still gripping her nape, I steer Alice down the nearest alley. The thrill of regaining control makes my cock swell. She's not going anywhere. Her fate is again firmly in my hands. I push her against the wall, one hand gripping her nape while the other slides down to cup her ass, lifting her easily as if she weighs nothing. She cries out, more from surprise than fear now, those sexy legs wrapping around my waist as her instincts take over.
You've been avoiding me, princess, I growl, my lips hovering dangerously close to hers. Do you know what that means?
She whimpers, trying to turn her face away, but I capture her chin, forcing her to meet my burning gaze.
It means you get punished.
And with that, I crush my mouth to hers, silencing her protests in a kiss that's wild and devouring. At first, she struggles, her hands pushing weakly against my chest, but it doesn't take long for her body to remember what it craves. Her soft lips part under the onslaught of my kiss, her mouth opening to my invasion as her body grinds helplessly against mine.
She tastes like surrender, like the sweetest sin, and I groan into her mouth, tightening my grip on her ass as I tug her even closer, wanting to feel every inch of that lush body against mine. Fuck, you feel so good, I murmur against her lips, my thumb grazing the shell of her ear. But you know what I need, don't you?
She swallows hard, her eyes fluttering shut as she nods breathlessly.
No more games. I need to feel that tight little cunt wrapped around my cock again.
Her low moan vibrates through me, sending a jolt straight to my cock. I trail open-mouthed kisses along her jaw, sucking and biting gently before nipping at the sensitive skin of her neck, marking her as mine.
You want it too, I mutter, mouth pressed to her pulse point. Don't try to deny it. Her response is a breathy gasp as my fingers dig into her flesh, reminding her of my strength, my unwavering hold over her. I slam her back against the wall, letting go of her nape to rip at the buttons of her shirt, needing to feel her soft skin against my palms. A gasp tears from her throat as the cool night air hits her exposed flesh, but the sound turns to a sharp cry as I capture one rosy nipple between my teeth, tugging gently.
Lars, please.
She whimpers, fingers twisting in my hair. Hearing my name fall from her lips is like a jolt to my system, reminding me of the intoxicating power I hold over her. I stroke her naked breast with my thumb while my teeth continue their worship, marking a path down her throat. Please what? I rasp. Tell me you want me inside you. Her mouth falls open in a silent plea as she arches against me, her body begging for what only I can give her. Say it, I command, raking my teeth gently over her collarbone. Tell me you need my cock.
Yes.
She breathes.
I need you, Lars. Fuck me. Now.
The plea sends a shot of satisfaction straight to my groin. The heady power of having her beg makes my dick throb. As you wish, princess, I growl, hoisting her higher with an animalistic growl. But this time, you're gonna beg for it. I rip her panties off with one sharp tug, the flimsy fabric tearing easily and exposing that gorgeous pussy. With a harsh tug on my zipper, I free myself from the confines of my jeans, my cock springing free, hard as stone. Alice squirms in my arms, her eyes wild with desire as she tightens her legs around my waist. Positioning the head of my dick at her entrance, I smirk. You want it? She moans.
Please, Lars. No.
My smirk widens as I tease her, drawing out the delicious anticipation. Slowly, I rub the tip of my cock through her slick folds, my piercing knocking against her clit as I drag